That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James.
It certainly is that time. I was up bright and early to talk to James. We discussed the blue economy, mental health service funding, and what it's like being in government. I began by asking James about his meeting with Kirk Humphrey, the Minister of Maritime Affairs and the Blue Economy in Barbados.
We talked a lot about the threat that small island states like Barbados are facing from the changing climate. Obviously, they are exposed to increasingly frequent and severe hurricanes in the Caribbean, and obviously the timing was kind of apt with the hurricane hitting Bermuda at roughly the same time. But also, you know, what's his government doing about it? What's our government doing about it? Are there areas of cooperation that make sense? And there actually are.
And what exactly is the blue economy?
Yeah, so what they've done, and there are a few governments around the world that have done this, is they've sort of taken a view of ocean and marine conservation and of their, you know, fishing industry, and they've actually combined those and said, well, actually, if we view these through the lens of sustainable development, then actually having a minister of oceans and fisheries where the job isn't just to exploit the ocean, it's to actually manage human activity in the ocean really carefully so that it can be sustained for multiple generations is a sort of a holistic view of that. And so that's really his role. He's the first minister of blue economy for his country. It was something that they brought in when he started in government a year ago.
Would you like to see something like this in New Zealand?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, I haven't thought it through thoroughly what the implications would be. There is some time, I mean, often what we do here is we have those roles separated in order to create a tension between them. So, for example, you have, you know, Minister for Conservation, which includes marine conservation on one side, and the Minister for the Environment. And then on the other, you've got the Minister of Fisheries. And that actually, having them... having those roles separated means that they can each advocate for those different positions, if you like, and then, you know, Cabinet can kind of work through to, you know, ideally a happy medium. You know, you'd have to sort of work out, you know, what the consequences might be of pulling them in together. But it's certainly an interesting idea, and when you consider that New Zealand has an economic zone, you know, roughly the size of Europe, it's... you know, it's not inconsiderable.
Moving on, the government has announced $6 million in funding for mental health services. Can you talk about this a bit and sort of how you feel the government's kind of commitment to tackling the mental health problem in this country is going?
Well, you know, I was frankly surprised. I fought four election campaigns for the Green Party in New Zealand. And the last one, it really struck me how important mental health was as we were getting around the country. It wasn't something that we had planned to campaign on particularly, but it really was just this huge kind of outpouring of people saying, we have got to address the mental health crisis in New Zealand. So it became one of the big hot ticket items of the election. We responded in this year's budget. We put $1.9 billion over the next 4 years into mental health services. And the announcement that David Clark and Jacinda Ardern made yesterday is the first kind of tranche of that, if you like, about 3 months after the budget, saying, you know, here's $6 million for mental health services, which will help about 170,000 people around the country.
And as you said, it was the hot ticket item around the last election, and the Greens promised to introduce counselling, free counselling for under 25s.
Yeah.
How's this progressing?
Yeah, good. So we've set up a pilot in Porirua, a program called Piki, which is essentially it's exactly what we said in the election campaign. You know, free counselling for people under the age of 25, largely delivered through community services. And the budget, that $1.9 billion that I was talking about, includes funding to expand that out around the rest of the country. So it's kind of getting cranking. Obviously, we'd like to be moving faster than, you know, than we are, but, you know, it's all there.
So do you think this is something we could see fully rolled out by the next election?
Well, there'll certainly be a lot more by the next election. I don't actually know if we're going to be able to get around the whole country at that full provision, but we're certainly working on it as fast as we can.
Excellent. And you have been in government for a while now, 2 years. How's it going?
2 years.
is it what you expected?
Well, you know, I still haven't worked out a very good answer to that question because I don't think anything can prepare you for it. So whilst you can observe it and get a sense of what it might be like, the actual experience of it is quite different. And as I used to say, you know, there's a difference between knowing you're going to get hit by a truck and the experience of being hit by a truck, right? So it's, I guess it is, in many ways, more than I expected. And in other ways, you know, there's always those kind of disappointments of things that you thought you might be able to do and are really struggling to get over the line.
Speaking about that, you have made a few pretty big compromises so far that haven't gone down so well with the membership. Do you think you'd have to compromise as much as you have been?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is the nature of proportional representation governments with coalitions, right, is that not every party gets what it wants. In fact, no one gets everything that it wants all of the time. And so you have to kind of cede ground on some things, otherwise you're not going to get anything done at all. The thing that I sort of hadn't really anticipated about this government is because it requires all three parties in the coalition to agree on something, it does actually mean that you've got an enforced consensus and you have to back each other, otherwise, you know, you literally wouldn't get anything done. And so we've actually only been able to do the things that we've been able to do because of the other parties, you know, support. And I think people often sort of see it the other way around, that, you know, they just see what we've kind of been held back on. And yeah, there is compromise. But actually the things that we put to the parliament and to the public are things that actually a majority of New Zealanders agree on, as evidenced by the coalition.
And there's an election coming up next year. Quite often, smaller parties and sort of government get punished for the sins of the bigger party, I guess. Are you worried that you might be punished at the ballot box for some of the things this government's done wrong?
Well, look, one thing that I'm really proud of is that the Greens are the one party that has defied the history of support parties in government, and that our polling has been basically rock solid since the election. It hasn't budged. It'd be nice if it went up. but at least
that was James Shaw for the Green Party. The Wire.
You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.